You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Nils Norman. He's an artist that lives and works in London. Nils, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Let's talk about what you're working on now. What's happening in your studio? I imagine it's a busy place.
I actually am between studios, but my studio is mainly in my laptop. I travel a lot for work-related projects, so I actually work kind of on the road. But symbolically, my studio in my head, I'm working on some different playground projects and infrastructural projects related to play, and looking at public sites, outdoor sites, for making the city more playful.
Okay, so let's jump right into that then, because I mean, since you're using the terms playful, and I know you've created playgrounds and have used that aesthetic in your work, what was the first, if we can use the word playful or playground, that you made, that began that work?
Well, I used to make, in my earlier career as an artist, I showed with a gallery called American Fine Arts in New York, which sadly closed in the early 2000s.
That was with Colin Deland, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah, that's right. And I showed models, and the models had a kind of playground or playful element to them. They were kind of utopian parodies of existing New York sites that were under development, with Giuliani at the time and his kind of zero tolerance kind of policy of city design. And I used this kind of idea of utopia as a critical tool to look at those sites that Giuliani was redesigning to think of an alternative. And those alternatives were kind of playful parodies or critiques of what was going on. So that was kind of the first manifestation, I would say, of a kind of playful or playground type idea in an artwork.
But that was before you actually did any public work, is that correct?
That's right, yeah. And then I went on to do something called the Geocruiser, which was a mobile garden, a small kitchen garden built, designed into the back of a school bus, which ran partially on recycled vegetable oil, not the whole time, but just sometimes. And that also had a kind of playful quality to it, because the idea of a mobile garden wasn't necessarily had any real scientific value, but it was more of a kind of utopian, playful idea.
Hmm.
And then I was looking at playgrounds later, much later. So I've only really started to build playgrounds since the mid-2000s.
Okay, and this is clearly after your gallery in New York and Colin Deland passing.
Yeah.
What was the next step? Was it to do public art, or there was another gallery that happened around that time as well?
No, once Colin had died and the gallery closed, I didn't actually see any reason to continue working as a gallery artist. I actually did most of all the organization stuff myself, and I wasn't interested in selling work as such. Or objects. I wasn't interested in selling objects as kind of luxury items. I was more interested in some kind of social engagement with the public, and that is very limited within a gallery. And it's becoming more and more limited as the gallery system becomes more market orientated. Well, that's accelerated. I mean, it always was, of course, but it's entered a different phase, I think, as capitalism also changes. But so I see myself now as a kind of post-gallery artist, where I don't really rely upon a gallery at all for my professional life. I do it all independently on my own through commissions and so on.
And so let's talk about that a little, because that's quite a powerful stance towards galleries, but also a feat to accomplish. At that time in New York, or perhaps you're in the process of leaving New York, how was it that you, were you able to support yourself off your work, or were you also teaching and doing it?
At that time, I had a lot of commissions in Europe. So I just decided, after Colin had died, and I had split with my partner at the time, I decided to move back to Europe, which is where I'm from. And because I didn't want to start doing this transatlantic commute, which a lot of my friends were doing. So I moved back to Europe and started doing a lot more public art commissions, commissions for museums and so on. So it was quite a natural step, actually. I mean, I'd become quite cynical about the gallery system. I still show in galleries, but they're at the very bottom of my kind of my interests.
And traveling to Europe and now doing all of this on your own, getting the commissions and fulfilling them and working really in this, you know, architectural as well as artist mode, you find that fulfilling? That seems to be working for you.
Yeah, it's great. I really enjoy it. You meet a lot of different people. I think that's one of the things about being an artist, is that coming out of a bohemian tradition of kind of moving between classes and being quite fluid, if you like, I think it's easier for artists for coming out of that bohemian tradition to actually move from different disciplines. So as an artist, I can talk to an engineer, I can talk to a poet, I can talk to a politician, I can work with a geographer, and so on. But it's very difficult for a geographer or for a politician to do the same. So I think an artist, because of that bohemian tradition, has the possibilities to do that. And that's what I do a lot now in terms of collaboration and discussions and trying to affect policy, trying to affect different master plans and design strategies and so on. So for me, that's a much more interesting and more dynamic way of working.
I think it is. And why... you said you still have this kind of relationship with galleries or this cynicism. It seems that galleries, in a way, are a separate world. They can't do what you're doing or do for you. What is the cynicism towards galleries? What is your perspective on the gallery world now that you're so active and working so much?
I still do things with group exhibitions, and if I'm invited to show in a gallery, of course I'd do that if it was interesting enough. But it's more my disillusionment with the market and its relationship to art production, and the way that art production has become a kind of hyper luxury market, basically benefiting or what artists are now working for a very small elite group of very rich people, and that for me, working kind of politically, just doesn't add up. I mean, I can't work in that context. So that's one of the reasons why I kind of left it, purely because of the market, not necessarily because of the gallery as a model, even though I think it's a very outdated and old-fashioned way of exhibiting work. I mean, it's a model that hasn't changed. The white cube is a model that hasn't changed since Kahnweiler, you know, and the turn of the last century. So it just seems a bit of an outdated kind of model.
Yeah, I think it is an outdated model. I think it's also unusual that I mean, it's the opposite, really, of social engagement, too. Your work is about engaging the public, and in many ways, a gallery is, unfortunately, almost the opposite, right? There's a select group that goes to a gallery, and even a further narrowed group that really is engaging or enjoying the work that's being shown.
Yeah, I mean, I know in the 90s in New York, some galleries did try and engage with the public by having project rooms and little archives and viewing rooms and so on, but I think because that didn't make any money, they very quickly got rid of those places. It's you're basically just, you're in a marketplace, you're in a little, like a antique showroom or something, antique furniture showroom, and that's it. I mean, you're just interfacing with people who are coming to buy your stuff, or maybe some students or a couple of curators who come in. But otherwise, I think it's a pretty dull place for social interaction.
Let's talk about one of the projects that you think was most successful. What comes to mind when you think of one of the playgrounds or a particularly successful project that that you've done?
Well, one of the largest projects I've done, which is very successful, And I know locally it's something that's it's also loved by the people that use it, which is great, very gratifying to have that as an artist working in the public realm. Is a bridge I did in a town called Tre Kruna in Denmark. And this is a very large pedestrian bridge that has kind of catwalks and walkways coming off it, and two islands that spans a lake with two islands in the middle. And the islands, the reason I've designed the islands together with a landscape architect, a local landscape architect called Ib Asker Olsen. And we kind of created this idea that comes from permaculture, where you basically increase the edge. And when you increase the edge, you increase biodiversity. So by creating two extra islands within this lake, we increase the edge of the lake. And that meeting of water to land is a very biodiverse space. And we made this artificial lake into a much more biodiverse ecosystem. And the bridge has kind of different functions in it. It has different spaces. And that's become very successful as a public space.
That's fantastic. You know, I'd love to visit that. So that's a bridge, and people walk around those islands as well. Are those walkable islands?
Yeah, you can walk on them. You can play football. You can have picnics, and the walkways go out into reeds, so fields of reeds. So you're actually like you're in a little room on your own with just reeds around you, which is very beautiful. But it's taken a few years for that to kind of kick in, because it was all a new town. And when it was built, it was literally just kind of like ground zero. I mean, there's nothing there. It was just mud.
It's fantastic. I've seen images of that. It's a wonderful, wonderful project. So, Nils, can you talk about the project that you feel was that's perhaps coming up that you're excited about, or contain some of what we've been discussing, this playful quality yet so well integrated with the urban spaces that are around it?
Yeah, there are. There is one project in just outside of Hamburg, which is a. What I've been doing is looking at local. When I've been asked to do a commission, looking at local sites and seeing if there are already existing public spaces that could somehow be renovated or kind of redesigned if they're maybe falling apart or need some kind of extra attention. And there's a pavilion there, an old pavilion that was used by teenagers to hang out in. And what I've done is I've basically redesigned it using the infrastructure that's already there, and kind of retrofitting it, if you like, with a new design. And that is related to the maps that were made during the time that the land was being reclaimed, common land. The commons in that area were being reclaimed by the nobility and the state during the land reclamation movement time, which is of George III. And that has the designs are kind of related to that those maps, and it's by a lake, and it's a very beautiful site. And just retrofitting and redesigning that space in a different way is for me quite an exciting proposal.
That sounds exciting, and we'll look forward to seeing that. And there'll be links to a number of your projects, I think, where people can see these on the interview. In closing, it's pretty wonderful, it seems to me, the kind of interaction your work has brought the public, and the fact that you found yourself so squarely in the public realm and are traveling so much and doing these projects all around the world, working much like an architect. Do you see a difference between having a practice that's so architecturally informed, or for lack of a better word, as opposed to being, as you were saying, an artist working, you know, with American Fine Arts or a gallery artist? Is there really such a difference?
I think the professions are kind of meeting now. You see a lot of different artist groups and architecture groups. Their projects are actually becoming quite similar in the way that they look at space and so on. There's a younger generation of architects who are now moving more into the art realm, and you can see that with this group Assemble, who have just been nominated for the Turner Prize, as an example.
and they do a lot of art-related. I think some of the people in their architecture studio are artists. So there is this kind of meeting of the disciplines. But I think as an artist, for me personally, I have a lot more freedom than I would structurally as an architect does, because an architect is trained in a very specific way, and I think they understand structurally how kind of projects work. But as an artist, I have a lot more freedom and ability, like I said before, to kind of work in a more interdisciplinary way. And sometimes I can do an architecture project, sometimes I can do an art project. It just depends on the context. So that gives me a lot more freedom.
Well, and it sounds like the process also of, which you must be involved in all the time, applying for public work and doing proposals is also a huge part of your process in itself. Again, just the application process itself, or am I wrong?
Yeah. I mean, I only usually do make proposals for things I'm invited for. I don't actually go out and seek competitions or anything. I only do commissions. I'm invited to participate in a competition, but I wouldn't just go in cold and go for these different competitions. So that's slightly different, and that makes me means I have more freedom to do what I want to do, basically, which is great.
That is great, and it didn't start out that way, did it? It started out with just cold applications, and now it's come to this point?
No, it's actually always been invitations, and it started off with one or two invitations, and now there are a lot more. So I've never actually done kind of cold calling larger competitions as an architect would. I actually just do it from invitation only.
Well, that's very interesting. So then it was your earlier work that got people interested in knowing that you can do that.
It kind of was from the models I made and from the kind of pretending to be an architect led me into being invited to actually be an architect, which was quite funny.
That is. Nils, thanks so much for talking with us today. It's been a pleasure, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.